Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today not just a sermon of Charles Spurgeon, but we're going to start a whole book by the brother. It's called According to Promise, or, he says, The Lord's Method of Dealing with His Chosen People. Charles Spurgeon. Don't have a date on this one, but I'm assuming it's kind of old. He lived in the 1800s, you know. Let me see if it says any more about the date. No. All right, we're going to start with chapter 1. It's called A Sieve Needed. S-I-E-V-E. Sieve. A Sieve Needed. This is just the introduction to the book. It's very important to be able to distinguish between things that differ, for appearances are not to be relied upon. Things which seem to be alike may yet be the opposite of each other. A scorpion may be like an egg and a stone like a piece of bread, but they're far from being the same. Like may be very unlike. Especially is this the case in spiritual things. Therefore it behooves us to be on our guard. It would be very difficult to say how far a man may go in religion and yet die in his sins. How much he may look like an heir of heaven and yet be a child of wrath. Many unconverted men have a belief which is similar to faith, and yet it is not true faith. Certain persons exhibit pious affections which have the warmth of spiritual love, but are quite destitute of gracious life. Every grace can be counterfeited, even as jewels can be imitated. As paste gems are wonderfully like the real stones, so sham graces are marvelously like the work of the Spirit of God. In soul matters, a man will need to have all his wits about him, or he will soon deceive his own heart. It's to be feared that many are already mistaken, and will never discover their delusion till they lift up their eyes in the world of woe, where their disappointment will be terrible indeed. The dead child of nature may be carefully washed by its mother, but this will not make it the living child of grace. The life of God within the soul creates an infinite difference between the man who has it and the man who has it not. And the point is to make sure that we have this life. Are you sure that you have it, or him? It will be an awful thing to cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace, and to prophesy smooth things for yourself, and make your heart easy, and lull your conscience to slumber, and never to wake out of the sleep until a clap of the thunder of judgment shall startle you out of presumption into endless horror. I desire to help my reader in the business of self-examination. I would have him go further than examination and attain to such abundance of grace that his holy and happy state shall become a witness to himself. The first part of this little book is meant to be a sieve to separate the chaff from the wheat. Let my friend use it upon himself. It may be the best day's work he's ever done. He who looked into his accounts and found that his business was a losing one was saved from bankruptcy. This may happen also to my reader. Should he, however, discover that his heavenly trade is prospering, it'll be a great comfort to him. No man can lose by honestly searching his own heart. Friend, try it at once. We move to chapter 1, or the first of the main teachings. He's quoting from Galatians 4, 22 and 23, in a chapter called The Two Seeds. It is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, were beyond all dispute veritable sons of Abraham. Yet one of them inherited the covenant blessing. The other was simply a prosperous man of the world. Do you see how close these two were together? They were born in the same society, called the same great patriarch father, and sojourned in the same encampment with him. Yet Ishmael was a stranger to the covenant, while Isaac was the heir of the promise. How little is there in blood and birth? A more remarkable instance than this happened a little afterwards, for Esau and Jacob were born of the same mother, at the same birth. Yet is it written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. One became gracious, called by grace, the other profane. So closely may two come together, and yet so widely may they be separated. Verily, it is not only that two shall be in one bed, and the one shall be taken and the other left, but two shall come into the world at the same moment. And yet one of them will take up his inheritance with God, and the other will, for a morsel of meat, sell his birthright. Yet we may be in the same church, baptized in the same water, seated at the same communion table, singing the same psalm and offering the same prayer, and yet we may be of two races, as opposed as the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Abraham's two sons are declared by Paul to be the types of two races of men, who are much alike and yet widely differ. And they are unlike in their origin. They were both sons of Abraham, but Ishmael, the child of Hagar, was the offspring of Abraham upon ordinary conditions. He was born after the flesh, an ordinary birth. Isaac, the son of Sarah, was not born by the strength of nature, for his father was more than 100 years old. His mother was long past age. He was given to his parents by the Lord, and was born according to a promise through faith. This is a grave distinction, and it marks off the true child of God from him who is only so by profession. The promise lies at the bottom of the distinction. The power which goes to accomplish the promise creates and maintains the difference. Hence, the promise, which is our inheritance, is also our test and touchstone. Let us use the test at once by seeing whether we have been wrought upon by the power which fulfills the promise. Let me ask a few questions. How were you converted? Was it by yourself? By the persuasion of men? By carnal excitement? Or was it by the operation of the Spirit of God? You profess to have been born again. Whence came that new birth? Did it come from God in consequence of his eternal purpose and promise? Or did it come out of yourself? Was it your old nature trying to do better, working itself up to its best form? If so, you are Ishmael. Or was it that you, being spiritually dead and having no strength whatever to rise out of your lost estate, were visited by the Spirit of God, who put forth his divine energy and caused life from heaven to enter into you? Then you are Isaac. All will depend upon the commencement of your spiritual life and the source from which that life at first proceeded. If you began in the flesh, you have gone on in the flesh, and in the flesh you will die. Have you never read, that which is born of the flesh is flesh? Before long the flesh will perish, and from it you will reap corruption. Only that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The joy is that the Spirit will live, and of it you will reap life everlasting. Whether you are a professor of religion or not, I beseech you, ask yourself, have I felt the power of the Spirit of God? Is the life that is within you the result of the fermentation of your own natural desires, or is it a new element, infused, imparted, implanted from above? Is your spiritual life a heavenly creation? Have you been created anew in Christ Jesus? Have you been born again by divine power? Ordinary religion is nature gilded over with a thin layer of what is thought to be grace. Sinners have polished themselves up and brushed off the worst of the rust and the filth, and they think their old nature is as good as new. This touching up and repairing of the old man is all very well, but it falls short of what is needed. You may wash the face and hands of Ishmael as much as you please, but you cannot make him into Isaac. You may improve nature, and the more you do so, the better for certain temporary purposes, but you cannot raise it into grace. There is a distinction at the very fountainhead between the stream which rises in the bog of fallen humanity and the river which proceeds from the throne of God. Do not forget that our Lord himself said, "You must be born again." If you have not been born again from above, all your church going or your chapel going stands for nothing. Your prayers and your tears, your Bible readings, and all that have come from yourself only can only lead to yourself. Water will naturally rise as high as its source, but no higher. That which begins with human nature will rise to human nature, but to the divine nature it cannot reach. Was your new birth natural or supernatural? Was it of the will of man or of God? Much will depend upon your answer to that question. Between the child of God and the mere professor, there is a distinction as to origin of the most serious sort. Isaac was born according to promise. Ishmael was not of promise, but of the course of nature. Where nature's strength suffices, there is no promise. But when human energy fails, the word of the Lord comes in. God had said that Abraham should have a son of Sarah. Abraham believed it and rejoiced therein, and Isaac was born as the result of the divine promise by the power of God. There could have been no Isaac if there had been no promise, and there could be no true believer apart from the promise of grace and the grace of the promise. Gentle reader, listener, here let me inquire as to your salvation. Are you saved by what you have done? Is your religion the product of your own natural strength? Do you feel equal to all that salvation may require? Do you conclude yourself to be in a safe and happy condition because of your natural excellence and moral ability? Then you are after the manner of Ishmael, and to you the inheritance will not come. For it is not an inheritance according to the flesh, but according to promise. If, on the other hand, you say, "My hope lies only in the promise of God," he has set forth that promise in the person of his Son Jesus to every sinner that believeth in him. And I do believe in him. Therefore, I trust and believe that the Lord will fulfill his promise and bless me. I look for heavenly blessedness, not as the result of my own efforts, but as the gift of God's free favor. My hope is fixed alone upon the free and gratuitous love of God to guilty men, by the which he has given his Son, Jesus Christ, to put away sin and to bring in everlasting righteousness for those who deserve it not. Then this is another sort of language from that of the Ishmaelites who say, "We have Abraham as our father." You have now learned to speak as Isaac speaks. The difference may seem small to the careless, but it is great indeed. Hagar, the slave mother, is a very different person from Sarah, the princess. To the one there is no covenant promise. To the other, the blessing belongs forevermore. Salvation by works is one thing, salvation by grace is another. Salvation by human strength is far removed from salvation by divine power. And salvation by our own resolve is the opposite of salvation by the promise of God. Put yourself under this inquiry and see to which family you belong. Are you of Ishmael or of Isaac? If you find that you are like Isaac, born according to the promise, remember that your name is Laughter, for that is the interpretation of the Hebrew name Isaac. Take care that you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Your new birth is a wonderful thing. If both Abraham and Sarah laughed at the thought of Isaac, you may certainly do so concerning yourself. There are times when If I sit alone and think of the grace of God to me, the most undeserving of all his creatures, I'm ready to laugh and cry at the same time for joy that ever the Lord should have looked in love and favor upon me. Yes, and every child of God must have felt the working of that Isaac nature within his soul, filling his mouth with laughter, because the Lord hath done great things for him. Mark well the difference between the two seeds from their very beginning. Ishmael comes of man and by man. Isaac comes by God's promise. Ishmael is the child of Abraham's flesh. Isaac is Abraham's child too. But then the power of God comes in. And from the weakness of his parents, it is made clear that he is of the Lord, a gift according to promise. True faith is assuredly the act of the man who believes. True repentance is the act of the man who repents. And yet both faith and repentance may with unquestionable correctness be described as the work of God. Even as Isaac is the son of Abraham and Sarah, and yet he's still more the gift of God. The Lord our God, who bids us believe, also enables us to believe. All that we do acceptably, the Lord worketh in us. Yea, the very will to do it is of his working. No religion is worth a farthing, a dollar, a dime, which is not essentially the outflow of the man's own heart. And yet it must beyond question be the work of the Holy Ghost who dwells within him. Oh, friend, if what you have within you is natural, and only natural, it will not save you. The inward work must be supernatural. It must come from God, or it will miss the covenant blessing. A gracious life will be your own, even as Isaac was truly the child of Abraham. But still more, it will be of God, for salvation is of the Lord. We must be born from above. Concerning all our religious feelings and actions, we must be able to say, Lord, thou hast wrought all our works in us. Amen. Charles Spurgeon. That was the first of many chapters in this book. We'll just take them one at a time. Every few days, I will continue this series. I'm so happy to be able to bring this brother back to life, as it were. His books are everywhere online. You don't have to depend on me. He has a whole site of his own here at Sermon Audio, and other people besides me have read there. You'll see my stuff there that I read, but you'll see many others who have read Charles Spurgeon. We're not trying to hog it all. He's just out there, and he's out there for a reason, and God's people need to get back to some of the things he used to teach. Okay, we have other great men of God on the site. By the way, I have other Charles Spurgeon sermons. If you will just look for the series button there on the front page, just look for the series. You'll find a lot of series, but Spurgeon Sermons is one of the many series that we have there. Check out North Korea, that you can pray about it. It's all over my website, hundreds of audios. You want to learn about the Quran and Muhammad? It's on the website here. I've taught about that. I've taught much about Bible prophecy and gone through the Bible a couple times and more and more and more. Just look around. God bless you. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.